Have you ever scrolled through one of those airline review videos? The ones where somebody walks you through a brand new business class suite with a door that closes, a bed that folds flat, maybe a mini bar built into the console, and thought, that looks incredible, I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Today we're talking about what happens when those gorgeous premium cabins meet the cold hard reality of federal certification testing, and the answer, it turns out, is not great. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSold.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight, from first solo to airline transport pilot. Every coin tells a story. Check them out at aviationsold.com. So here's the situation. Airlines around the world have been locked in an arms race for the front of the cabin. We're talking fully enclosed suites, sliding doors, seats that convert into beds with real mattress pads, privacy screens, personal wardrobes. The marketing teams love it. The passengers love it. The Federal Aviation Administration, not so much. Here's what you need to know. According to reporting from Simple Flying, a growing number of these premium seat and suite products are failing FAA safety certification tests. And we're not talking about minor paperwork issues, we're talking about dynamic testing, the kind where they mount the seat on a sled and slam it forward to simulate crash forces. Head injury criteria, femur load limits, flammability standards, the stuff that determines whether a passenger walks away from a survivable accident or doesn't. The core problem is actually pretty straightforward when you think about it. Airlines are designing these products primarily for comfort, aesthetics, and competitive differentiation. They're working with seat manufacturers and industrial designers who are optimizing for the passenger experience, and then sometimes very late in the process, they bring the finished or near-finished design to the regulators and say, certify this, and the regulators look at it and say, this door panel creates a head strike hazard. This console edge exceeds injury criteria in a 16G forward deceleration. This material doesn't meet burn rate standards. Now, if you're a general aviation pilot, you might be thinking, okay, Tower, this is airline cabin stuff, why do I care? Fair question, but stick with me. Because there are a couple of threads here worth pulling. First, the regulatory principle at play affects all of us. The FAA's certification standards exist because we learned hard lessons. Part 25, Section 25.562, the dynamic seat testing requirements. Those came out of decades of accident investigation. Every time you see a requirement that seems overly specific or burdensome, there's almost always a hull loss or a fatal accident behind it. The 14 CFR, Part 25.853, flammability requirements. Those trace back to cabin fires that killed people who survived the initial impact. These are not bureaucratic whims, they are written in blood, as the old saying goes. Second, this tension between innovation and certification is something GA manufacturers deal with constantly. How many times have we seen promising avionics, promising airframe designs, promising power plant conversions get delayed or redesigned because of certification hurdles? The difference is that in GA, most manufacturers have learned, sometimes painfully, to involve their designated engineering representatives and the FAA certification office early. You don't design the airplane and then ask if it's legal. You design it with certification in mind from day one. The headline doesn't tell the whole story here, though. What's really happening is a disconnect in the design timeline. These premium seat programs can take 3 to 5 years from concept to installation. The airline picks a seat manufacturer. They go through rounds of design iteration focused on the passenger experience and the brand identity. And the certification testing sometimes doesn't happen until relatively late in that cycle. When a product fails a dynamic test at that stage, you're looking at significant redesign costs, delays to fleet rollouts, and sometimes complete scrapping of a design that an airline has already announced to the public and started selling tickets for. The call going out now, and this is coming from both industry groups and regulatory bodies, is for airlines to involve the FAA and equivalent international regulators much earlier in the design process. Not at the end when you've got a finished suite that looks beautiful in the marketing photos but can't pass a sled test. At the beginning when you're still making fundamental decisions about geometry, materials, and structural integration. This is something those of us in GA can actually appreciate. If you've ever gone through an STC process, a supplemental type certificate for a modification to your aircraft, you know that the smart move is to have a pre-application meeting with your local flight standards district office or your ACO, the aircraft certification office. You lay out what you want to do. They tell you what the certification basis is going to be, and you design to meet it. You don't build the modification and then hope it passes. That's an expensive way to learn a lesson. There's also an international dimension here. These premium products fly on aircraft that operate globally, which means they may need to satisfy not just FAA standards, but also the European Union Aviation Safety Agency, or ESA, requirements, and potentially other national authorities. A product that passes one regulator's test may not pass another's, especially when you get into differences in how head injury criteria are interpreted or how flammability testing is conducted. Coordinating that early saves everyone time and money. Now, I want to be fair to the airlines and seat manufacturers here. Innovation requires pushing boundaries, and some of these products are genuinely impressive engineering achievements. The challenge is that aviation safety certification is, by design, conservative. It has to be. We're putting hundreds of people in an aluminum tube at flight level 350. The margins for error are intentionally narrow. And when you're adding mass, adding hard surfaces, adding enclosed spaces inside a cabin, every one of those changes has implications for emergency egress, for injury potential during turbulence or a hard landing, and for fire survivability. This affects you if you're a passenger, obviously, but it also affects the broader aviation ecosystem because certification delays and failures cost money, and those costs ripple through the supply chain. Seat manufacturers who have to redesign products absorb costs that affect their ability to invest in other programs, including GA seating products. Airlines that face delivery delays adjust their fleet plans. It's all connected. The takeaway here is actually a principle that applies whether you're flying a Cessna 172 or specifying a first-class suite for a Boeing 787. Design with the regulations in mind from the start. Bring the regulators in early. Treat certification not as a hurdle to clear at the end, but as a design parameter from day one. It's cheaper, it's faster, and most importantly, it produces products that actually protect people. Sources today include Simple Flying's reporting on premium seat certification failures and FAA Part 25 airworthiness standards. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Fly safe out there.